Good morning, everyone. My name is Tony. I've been asked to read a couple of verses here for us this morning. We'll start with Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 through 18. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away, till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. And next in Matthew, next in Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony and Cole. Appreciate it. So that passage Tony just read was from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was God's prophet to the people of Israel. And when he spoke those words to them, those people of Israel were in trouble. They were threatened. They were under the gun, so to speak. Assyria, their ruthless neighbors, were capturing all of their fortified cities, and now they were approaching Jerusalem, where the king, Hezekiah, was. And the people were scared. They were frightened. The Assyrians, you don't want to fall into the hands of the Assyrians. And that's what was on the threshold. And so that's when Isaiah spoke those words. They were frightened. They needed to do something. They needed rescue. They needed deliverance. They needed salvation. And he spoke this to them when they had a plan. The people of Israel had a plan. We're going to go down to Egypt. We're going to go down to Egypt and get help from those neighbors because they'll help us. They're strong. They've got chariots. They've got an army. They can help us defeat these Assyrians. But God had a different plan of deliverance. He had a different plan of salvation for those folks in Jerusalem. And Isaiah was delivering that message. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You know, we need deliverance. As people today, we need salvation. We need deliverance. We need rescue. We need rescue from the separation that we all inherited, our separation from God that we all inherited. We've all been estranged from God. And we know that. Like Cole said, nothing satisfied him. He knew there was something missing, and we all do. It's that separation that we from our Maker. And we need that deliverance. We need to be delivered from that separation. We need to have that mended. We also need deliverance, I believe, from the daily striving that we are inclined to depend on for our success and for our approval from God. Daily striving. We need to be delivered from that anxious striving that we are inclined to do. Because not unlike the ancient Israelites, sometimes we say to God, we'd have none of it. We don't need you. I've got a plan. I don't need your plan. We look to other things. We look to other pleasures. We look to other systems. We look to the government, whatever it might be. We put our confidence in that rather than in God. We believe sometimes that salvation, deliverance, comes from our own efforts and plans. Sometimes we're inclined to believe that it's up to us to make things right. It's up to us to get a handle on this. But the Lord says salvation comes through repentance and rest. Look at those two words, repentance. Repentance, we often think, well, you're guilty, you stop doing the wrong thing, you do the right thing. It's literally a word that means turning back or returning to something. Returning to. Isaiah was calling them to turn away from their plan to run down to Egypt and turn back to God, who had promised them protection. Earlier in Isaiah, he had promised God, if they would obey the Lord would care for them. They wouldn't have to worry about the Assyrians. God would take care of that. They needed to return to trust in God, redirecting their trust and their confidence away from their plan, the Egyptians' plan, to humble dependence on God, who had promised that he'd protect them, that he would not forsake them to the Assyrians. We, like that, need to turn oftentimes from trusting in our own efforts and plans to God's provision and God's ability. In Proverbs 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Oftentimes, I need to be reminded of that. Because we all can be inclined to begin to think that it's all up to me. It's all up to us. So that's repentance. In repentance, turning back, turning to a different plan, turning to God's plan for us. And then rest. And that word is interesting. It reflects the motion of coming down to a settled state, coming down to a place of settledness, restfulness, quiet composure. Think about how many times those of you that have small kids or have had small kids, you know when the kids are just squirrely and they're just moving and just excited to get going, and they are going. And what do you tell them? Settle down. Settle down. And that's the picture of this word rest, is settled down. Settle down. The opposite of that frantic, anxious activity that we sometimes apply to any given situation. Because, how can I rest? I got to figure this out. I got to fix this thing, right? I've got to do something. That's what the Israelites were saying. We got to do something. I know, Isaiah, you say God will take care of it, but we don't see how that's going to happen. We got to do something. And we can have that same attitude. Just think for a moment what it feels like to be settled, to be calm. That's what Isaiah was encouraging the people to experience as they turned back to God and trusting in Him, that they could have that settled calm. God tells us, don't look elsewhere for what you need. Come to me for what concerns you. come to him for what concerns him, you. And how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we cease that activity? How do we cease that that need to just take things into our own hands and that seems so natural to us? How do we cease striving? In Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I'm God." You know, if you look back in that psalm, that's a familiar verse to many of us. Be still and know that I am God. If you look back in that verse, God is talking about his power. It said, backing up, it says, "Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease in the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear, burns the shields with fire." He's the one that's in charge of all of it. And then it says, "Be still." And I heard someone recently speak on that passage, and that word, "be still." He said, it could be interpreted as, "Stop it." Just stop it. It's like God saying, "I got this. You stop it." Sometimes I need to hear that from my Heavenly Father. Stop it, Mark. Stop it. God's initiative, our response is to trust. God's the one who's capable. It's our response is to trust him, turn our attention to him. Rest. Tony also read Matthew 11:28. Jesus' words. Jesus said many things. And in this case, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Weary and burdened. We can all fit that description sometimes, right? We're tired. It seems to be piling up. We're weary and burdened. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Refreshment. It means refreshment. He'll refresh us. Do we feel refreshed when we come to Jesus? Or do we feel burdened? We trust him. Turning back, repenting. So then the second part of that passage in Isaiah says, "In quietness and trust is your strength." Strength. Strength, power, courage, strength. We value strength, don't we? We want to be strong. I want to be strong. Not necessarily physically. I'd like that. I'm not. But we want to be strong. We want to be able. We want to be competent, right? We need strength. We need strength because things come up. Every day things come up to challenge our, to disturb our peace, to challenge us. Things are, very, very difficult things come up. Little things, big things. Stuff comes up and we need strength to go through our days, right? And we believe sometimes that strength comes from our own actions and competence. I can take care of this. Often our response is, "I can handle this. I can figure out, I can manage." Okay? Often, many of us have that characteristic that when something comes up, think, first thought is, "I can manage this." You can manage it till you can't, right? I know that's true for me. You can manage. And you know, when we take on those things single-handedly, it results in stress, doesn't it? It results in anxiety. Am I doing enough? Am I on the right track? Is this the right solution? Is this going to work? We don't find rest, and we tend to exhaust ourselves before we give up. We tend to exhaust ourselves before we'll trust. Okay, all my plans didn't work. Okay, God, now I'll trust you. Isaiah is calling them to do that a little earlier. Do that before you make a mess of things. Turn your attention back to the one who is capable. So we believe it it's our strength comes from our own actions and confidence. The Lord says strength comes in quietness and trust. Quietness. To be at rest, to be undisturbed, to be tranquil. Does that describe you on a daily basis? Doesn't always describe me. Sometimes we have moments of tranquility, right? We have moments of quiet trusting. Don't we all long to be undisturbed, to have a quiet mind, peace of mind? Don't we all want peace of mind, peace of heart, free from anxiety, settled? I can think of a time, this is going way back, when I don't know if this is a unique experience, but when I was a little kid, the most restful, tranquil place I could think of was in the back seat of my mom and dad's car, coming home from somewhere at night. So it's dark, sitting in the back seat. I'm in the middle because I have an older brother and a sister. My dad and mom in the front seat, and I haven't got a care in the world. I'm not thinking about, you know, does my dad know where we're going? Does he know the way home? I wasn't. I figured he did. Is he a good driver? I wasn't even worried about that. Was I wearing a seatbelt? No, we didn't have seatbelts. So, but it was so restful. It was just a place of quiet rest. Quiet rest. So quietness and trust. Trust is security, confidence, right? Judah was looking to horses and chariots, but their true strength is found in reliance on the Lord, not in a political alliance with Egypt, not with that. How do we do this? Because there are times for action, right? We aren't to spend our life passively just, well, whatever, God's going to take care of it. I'm going to sit here and just watch it go by. There are times we need to take action, right? There's times that we need to do something. And so I think when things confront us, when we have a situation that confronts us, we go take it to the Lord and take the action that we need to take. And then we trust. And we wait. We trust. We transfer our trust from our own abilities. I've done what I can. Now it's up to God. Nancy likes to say, oftentimes we have to say, I trust you, God, period. Not I trust you for this. I trust you, period. And that's true. So then it goes on, you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. Even Judah's resistance to the Lord's invitation, they resisted. They were determined to follow their own ideas, their own devices. Yes. And then farther down it says, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. This was part of that same message. He said, okay, God wants you to turn to Him and trust Him, and you'd have none of it, but He still longs to be gracious to you. We often believe that God doesn't see or care what's going on in our lives. We pray, we don't see an answer. We're anxious, and we can't see how things are going to work out. We think He doesn't care, that He isn't listening. But the Lord longs to be gracious and merciful to us. It's right there. And you know, if you read ahead in Isaiah 37, this passage is from 30 and 37, God came through. He defeated the Assyrians. The people in Jerusalem didn't lift a finger. God destroyed that army and protected Jerusalem. He came through despite their tendency to be going the wrong way. God longs to be gracious toward us. And you think about who in whose presence can you rest? Do you rest in the presence of a boss who's demanding, a demanding boss who really is concerned most about your performance? Or can you rest in a dear friend who just wants your best and will encourage you, correct you sometimes, but love you all the time? Where would you rest? We can rest because we have a compassionate God, a merciful God. And then at the end of this little passage, it says, "For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him." All who wait. We don't necessarily like to wait, do we? We like to get the answer before it gets too desperate. We want an answer. We want a solution. We want relief. We want deliverance. We grow impatient. So when we grow impatient, we then are inclined maybe to take things into our own hands. It says, "But blessed are those who wait for him." Blessed are those who wait. Waiting is hard, but we can place our confidence in the one in whom our deliverance depends. So in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. Trust that we can take that message and lean more heavily on the Lord in every circumstance. Large, difficult things, small obstacles, that we might trust him and him alone for his deliverance. Amen.